A preview. Next week's message is, and it's going to sound really weird, is really encouraging to me as I'm getting ready for next week. And it's weird because the title of the message next week is The Wrath of God. And I've been working on that, and it's really come because I think you will be blessed and encouraged. But for this morning, we are in week number 10 of our series on the awesomeness of God that I'm calling God Rocks. And this morning, our scripture is found in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 25, where the Bible says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every moment, every morning." Sorry, what a blessing that is. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Great is thy faithfulness." Have a question. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say? And before you answer that question, let me rephrase it just a little bit. How many do you know who do exactly what they say every single time? Yep. Let me rephrase it again, make it easier maybe. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything that they say or do? Finally, let me ask it one more way. Because we might have people that fall into the first three categories, but check out this one. How many people do you know who, no matter what the circumstances and no matter how they feel, will always do exactly what they say they will do every single time and do it with the same thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do, because you know if they say it, they will definitely do it without fail, without change, and without excuse? How many people do you know just like that? I'll tell you what, there's one. The answer to that question depends on how you ask it, really, because most of us probably think we know some people who do exactly what they say. I know a few that most of the time do exactly what they say. That is, we all know some reliable people who seem very dependable to us, but in the end, the question that I've been asking this morning is not about reliable or very dependable people. It's really not about people at all, because no person could ever meet all the qualifications of that last question, which is really about God. The only person that we know who can meet every single qualification is God himself. He alone is 100% faithful 100% of the time. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love for us and your faithfulness to continue that love and to continue your forgiveness and continue your strength and continue your mercy. And the list goes on and on and on forever. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Encourage us, bless us, help us to go home thinking and praising God in Jesus' name. To say it that way is not an insult. It's simply a statement of fact, folks. We live in a world of broken promises. Why do you think Reagan and Gorbachev got together a few times? Why do you think Trump and Putin got together a few times? Why do you think Trump got together with Korea? Why do you think Trump got together with China? Why do you think presidents get together like that to talk? Because they want to stave off the end of the world. But it's also why bombs go off in restaurants and terrorists attack buildings and planes. Men pledge peace, but then we make plans for war. There was a running back, played ball at USC. It was pretty good. Won the Heisman Trophy. Everybody thought he was the greatest guy ever. Had a dashing smile, was good looking, everybody loved him. His name was O.J. Simpson. Anybody remember O.J. Simpson? Not what he appeared to be. What about Bill Cosby? Back in the day, he had an extramarital affair, and that shocked everybody. But then some other stuff started to come out. This in spite of the image of him being a loyal, family, wonderful man. Folks, is there anyone out there who is who they claim to be? Really? It's quite a question. Is there anyone out there who is what he claims to be? And I'd like to suggest that there's one. One you can trust. His name is Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, and Jesus speaking, I am the truth. John chapter 18, verse 37, the Bible tells us, and Jesus also speaking to Pilate here, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. The Bible contains a few words for truth, but the most important one, I think, is the Hebrew word emet, pronounced like Emmett County, spelled a little bit different, but it means stability, firmness, and certainty. We get the English word amen from the Hebrew word emet. Every time we say amen, folks, we're actually saying it is certain, or yes, it is absolutely true. Therefore, to say that God is true is the same thing as saying God is faithful. So what does that mean? What does God's faithfulness mean to us today? God's faithfulness means, folks, that because he is the truth, everything that he says and does is certain. That means he is 100% reliable 100% of the time. He does not fail, forget, falter, change, or disappoint ever. In the words of Lewis Sperry Chafer, who was the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, he, God, not only advances and confirms that which is true, but in faithfulness abides by his promises and executes every threat or warning he, God, has made. He says what he means, and he means what he says, and therefore does everything he says he will do. Always. So let's look for a moment at some of the key verses regarding God's faithfulness we find in Scripture. And I'll try and go slow. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. He is, the Bible says, abounding in love and faithfulness. Exodus 34, 6. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is, the Bible says, a faithful God. Deuteronomy 32, 4. Psalm 89 and verse 2, the Bible says, you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. Psalm 89, 2. Psalm 89, verse 8, the Bible says, your faithfulness surrounds you. Psalm 89, verse 8. Psalm 89, verse 33, the Bible says, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. Psalm 89, verse 33. God's faithfulness, obviously, is a major theme of Psalm 89. Read it sometime. It's an amazing, uplifting book. It tells us that God's faithfulness flows from his character, that heaven is the ultimate display of God's faithfulness, and that he will never betray his word under any circumstances ever. Numbers 23 and verse 19, the Bible tells us, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Numbers 23, 19. John 17 and verse 3, the Bible says, the only true God. John 17, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the Bible says, and God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. 1 John 1, verse 9. The Bible says, he, God, is faithful. 1 John 1, 9. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, him who is true. 1 John 5, verse 20. Folks, these verses taken together establish for us God's faithfulness, that God's faithfulness is not some minor or secondary part of God's character. To say that God is faithful, folks, goes to the core of who God really is. He keeps his word, folks, because if he didn't, he wouldn't be God. He keeps his word because if he didn't, he wouldn't be God. And please note that I said he keeps his word, singular, not words. Consider the following seven facts about God's faithfulness. Number one, His word is eternal. His word is eternal. Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible tells us, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." Psalm 119, verse 89. Second fact about God's faithfulness, God is as faithful today, 2023, as He was yesterday. Psalm 119, verse 90, the Bible tells us, "Your faithfulness continues through all generations." Number three, He is reliable in all His works. Psalm 111, verse 7, the Bible tells us, "The works of His hands are faithful and just." Psalm 111, verse 7. Fourth fact about God's faithfulness, He is faithful even when we are not, which is probably often. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, "If we are faithless, He, God, will remain faithful." 2 Timothy 2:13. Number five, our salvation depends on God's faithfulness. Philippians 1 verse 6, the Bible says, "Being confident of this, that He, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Philippians 1 verse 6. Sixth fact about God's faithfulness, our sanctification depends on His faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And the seventh fact about God's faithfulness is our future resurrection depends on God's faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him." 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. Folks, these verses could be multiplied in every direction because all that God does rests on His faithfulness, and every blessing that we receive comes because He is faithful to keep His promises to us. If God were not faithful, we could not be saved. We could not dare to pray. We would have no sure hope for the future, and we would go down in death in desperate fear, wondering if God will keep His promises. But we live in faith and we die in hope precisely because our God is faithful. Since this is an amazingly vast, huge subject, this morning I want to focus on five areas of specific application. Number one. When you are discouraged, how many of you have been discouraged recently? When you are discouraged, remember God's faithfulness. When you are discouraged, remember God's faithfulness. You remember the story of David and Goliath? Saul's asking David why in the world he thought he could slay this giant. And this kid, this young boy, replied with a story about God's faithfulness. David remembered for Saul God's faithfulness during his days as a shepherd, and that faithfulness gave David courage to believe that God would deliver him once again. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, the Bible says, David speaking, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. Folks, David simply extrapolated from the past to the future on the basis of God's unchanging character. He knew God would deliver him in this situation because he'd done it already. He'd done it so many times in the past. The Psalms are full of places where the psalmist says, call on God's past. Remind Him of what He's already done. Dare Him to do it again. Ask Him to do it again. When you're discouraged, folks, remember God's faithfulness. Quote the great promises. Remember how God has already answered your prayers. Reflect on God's mighty deeds to consider who it is who fights for you. Then pick up five smooth stones and get ready to defeat the giant. Amen? Number two, when you doubt your salvation, remember God's faithfulness. When you doubt your salvation, remember God's faithfulness. Many Christians, probably the vast, vast majority of us, doubt their salvation at least at one time or another because they don't feel like they're good enough people, good enough Christians to get to heaven. But folks, getting to heaven has nothing to do with being good enough, since none of us would qualify. John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said of his followers, and the Bible tells us, I will give them eternal life. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we're told that, and the Bible says, you may know that you have eternal life. Folks, God wants you to know that you are saved. The Bible doesn't say that you may hope that you have eternal life or that you may wish that you have eternal life. No. The Bible says you can know that you're going to heaven. This week I ran across a pretty encouraging statement. God not only keeps his promises, he also keeps his people. That's why Jack Weirton could say, I am as sure of heaven as if I'd already been there 10,000 years. Hold on to that one for a second. To the unsaved, that probably sounds a little bit presumptuous, and many Christians would agree that, yeah, that's a little bit presumptuous, don't you think, Jack? But it's true. If you know Jesus Christ, you are certain of going to heaven, as certain as if you've already been there 10,000 years. Folks, when you're tempted to doubt your salvation or remember God's faithfulness, consider his promises, contemplate the cross, gaze upon the dying form of the Son of God, think of all that he's already done for you, then recall the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior. Let the facts of the gospel be your strength, and then rest your weary soul on the rock of ages. Amen. Number three, when you are tempted to sin, picture the little dog dinging into the snow. When you are tempted to sin, remember God's faithfulness. There's two wonderful verses that I use to remember, that I remember when I'm being tempted. And sometimes I pay attention, sometimes not so much. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. And 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and you may all know this one already, and this is the King James, there has no temptation taken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you can bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to get out. NIV says, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can stand up under it. Folks, in both of these cases, God's faithfulness is tied directly into the temptations of life that trouble you. Notice also that it's not God's purpose to deliver you from the temptation. It's his purpose to give you strength that you need to stand up against satanic attack, against temptation. Just as Jesus had to endure temptation, we're going to too. But as he resisted and triumphed, so also may we. God will give you whatever you need in the moment of fiercest attack. I remember years ago in Seattle, I was having lunch with a dear friend who was also in ministry back then. And he told me how he'd been experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in his life in a powerful way. And we were having coffee in downtown Seattle, and I can see it as if it was today. The people walking by outside, the coffee and smells and all of it. Both of us knew a pastor who at that point lived in the East who had to resign his church because of moral indiscretions. And his name came up, don't remember why. And we talked about what the two of us could learn from our friend's sad experience. And my friend commented on how important it is for us to remain open to the Holy Spirit so that we might see the way of escape in the midst of the battle. There is always a way out. But what if it's not there? When we get to heaven, we're going to discover, my friend talking, that there were more than enough warning signs if we'd only heeded them. That strikes me as a pretty good application of those verses we just read. No one needs to sin. Not even once, not even a little bit. There are always more than enough warnings, more than enough ways of escape if we will only take them. Amen? Number four. When you have made a mess of your life, remember God's faithfulness. How many times have we heard the blessed words of 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. Folks, those three words guarantee God's forgiveness to his erring children. He is faithful. Write that down. If you don't remember anything else this morning, write that down. If you made a mess of your life, would you be ashamed for other people to know everything you've said, everything you've done, everything you've thought in the last week? Or the last 3 months? Or the last 5 years? I mean, who among us dares to say, you know, I don't need God's forgiveness, I'm pretty good? If you know yourself at all, you know how much you sin and how desperately you stand, how desperately you need to stand in God's mercy. But will his mercy be there when you need it? Thank God that for us the answer is yes. But what, and this brings to mind that young lady I was talking to about, shared with you a little bit ago. But what if you sin too much? What if God says, I've had it with you? Folks, the truth is, as long as your heart is tender and open before the Lord, you can always be forgiven. A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise. Think about your life. Now think about God's faithfulness. When you're driving home today or when you're in your quietness someplace off alone, think about your life. Go over your life. Beginning, middle, now. And think about that. And then think about God's faithfulness. And when you think about God's faithfulness, bring your faults and your failures and your foolish ways to the Lord, and then ask for forgiveness, and then believe that you have received that forgiveness. As Jesus said to that woman caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. Amen. Number five, when you feel unequal to your task, remember God's faithfulness. When you feel unequal to your task, remember God's faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. How many of you know I try really, really hard to be faithful in everything I do? How many of you know I try to be 100% faithful to my wife every single day, every single minute, every single hour of my life? How many of you know that temptations to be unfaithful to my wife are thrown at me all the time? And any married person in this room who says that's not true is lying to themselves. It's always there. We can either... Huh, that's an interesting thing to think about. Let me think about that for 5 seconds or 5 minutes or 5 hours, and pretty soon it becomes a tumor. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We're not faithful. Not always. What wonderful words those are, though. All of us are going to face moments sooner or later when we simply cannot find the strength to go on. Perhaps we're overwhelmed by circumstances in our lives, and there's people in this room, there's people represented in this room who have stuff going on in their lives right now that just makes them feel hopeless. That song earlier was perfect. Maybe life's tumbling in around us. What do you do then? Cindy Keating found out the answer firsthand when her little boy, Colin, was badly bitten by a large dog. The dog mauled the side of his face, leaving deep gashes down to the bone. And when Cindy saw Colin, he was in shock. He was covered with blood, and he was not responding in any way to her at all. The wounds looked pretty severe, she said. The dog's fangs had severed a gash into Colin's right temple down to his skull. She immediately called an ambulance, and they rushed him to the hospital. And I want to pick up the rest of the story in Cindy's own words. She says, "On the way, I had a few minutes to regain my composure, to search for perspective, to call on a trusted friend. In other words, I knew this was the time to pray." You see, Cindy continues, "As a single parent, I have called upon the Lord daily since I began my walk with him just before my divorce. Despite the fact that I was baptized 12 years ago, I never really trusted the Lord until just about 3 years ago. And my life has not been the same since. He has been my husband. He has been a father to my children, a trusted provider, our faithful, consistent one and only. I've learned there is little I can do without him, God, so I need him now." And then Cindy shared a little bit about the 9 hours that she spent with Colin at Loyola Hospital. Finally, the surgeon stitched everything back together and sent them both home. And she says, "He couldn't eat much the next couple of days, and his face turned funny shades of blue and green through the initial healing process." As Christians, we're still shy about pain and struggle, I think. Do we get less of it because we love our Father? I don't think so. Maybe more. But I'm glad to know how much He, God, loves us. This is Cindy talking still. "And that when I'm falling, he's been waiting prepared with his arms open wide." Proverbs 3, verse 3. The Bible says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Proverbs 3, 3. Cindy continued, "It had been just over 4 weeks and we're doing much better now. I sometimes wonder how I got so lucky. God has truly blessed me with 3 wonderful, compassionate children. Colin was recently asked, 'Are you afraid of dogs?' His response, 'Only one.'" What a wonderful testimony to God's amazing faithfulness to his kids, folks. Because he is faithful, we can trust him even in the most desperate moments of life. Amen. So let me end this morning where I began. How many people do you know who always, rabbit, they say never, it's a lie. If they say always, it's a lie. Because you can always, he says, find an exception. Just saying. How many people do you know who always do exactly what they say? No matter how many qualifiers you put on those words, folks, the answer is always the same. Only one. Only God is always faithful. Jesus Christ is truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is truly the name that you can trust. He is the answer to the question, is there anyone who is what they claim to be? Think about these words that Jesus said, John 18, verse 37. The Bible tells us, "I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Whose side are you on? Sometimes people ask me how I have the strength to keep believing in the midst of a world filled with pain and suffering and stupidity. And as we work to answer that question, I was thinking about this the other day, and this is kind of an add-on to this message. Holy Week's coming up. A couple weeks. begins with Palm Sunday, the day Jesus entered Jerusalem for the final time. And on Thursday, he meets with his disciples in the upper room. And on Friday, he died on the cross. And on Easter Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. And what an amazing week that was. What a wonderful week that is for us who know Jesus Christ. All that we believe, folks, finds its foundation during those holy days. If these things are true, then everything else in the Bible must be true. No wonder Jesus said to Thomas, John 20, verse 27, and the Bible says, "Stop doubting and believe." If you find yourself weak in faith, folks, look to the cross. Ponder the bloody image of the Son of God. Gaze upon the empty tomb. Looking forward to the Easter display, oh, by the way. Gaze upon the empty tomb. Read again those ancient accounts of Holy Week, of Good Friday, of Easter Sunday. Consider what the Lord your God has done for you. Not for us, for you as an individual. And think about what this means. If God can raise the dead, and he can, and if Jesus is still alive, and he is, then why are you worried about anything? If God can raise the dead and if Jesus is still alive, then why are we worried about anything at all? There's many days I think back, and many means a few times a year, but I think back to January 18th, 1981. You know why? Kind of a random day and date, right? January 18th, 1981. I remember that day very well because I was sitting at a desk at the Bursley Bates dorm at the University of Michigan asking Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Has that ever happened to you? Has there ever been a moment in time when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? As we wrap up this morning, I want to ask you the same question. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and trusted him as Lord? It's the single most important decision we can ever make. If you've never done it, bow your head, pray to God, open your heart, and invite him in right now. You don't have to know the date. If you've already done it, you don't have to know the date. But remember it. Remember how it felt. Folks, I'm asking you this morning to trust the most trustworthy person in the history of the universe. May God help you to do that and to make peace with him right now. And may God's kingdom